Maybe you caught it recently, that partial solar eclipse back on March 29th.
Oh yeah, 2025. Visible from continental Portugal and Madeira.
Exactly. Maybe you were out there, with the special glasses.
Or maybe just saw some pictures floating around. It is definitely a thing.
Right. And whether you saw it or maybe just heard about this Espectáculo Celestial de Marzo,
The celestial spectacle of Mars, yeah, that's what our source calls it.
you might be wondering, well, what exactly happened and what's the deal with eclipses anyway?
Natural curiosity.
So yeah, think of this as your guide, your deep dive. We're going to break down that March 29th event and getting to the science behind solar and lunar eclipses too.
And hopefully make it all clear, maybe give you a few aha moments.
That's the plan. So let's start with what actually went down that Saturday morning.
Okay, so according to the info we've got, it kicked off around 9:40 a.m. That's Lisbon and Funchal time.
9:40 a.m.
That's when the moon started moving, across the sun's face.
So not instant darkness or anything, just a slow creep.
Exactly. A gradual thing. The moon's silhouette just starting to overlap the sun.
So if you were watching safely, of course, you'd see like a little piece missing, like a bite out of it.
That's the image, yeah. A little sliver of darkness starts growing. And this built up
So a
naturally.
maximum point, right?
Yes, midway through the event, roughly. That was peak eclipse for those locations.
When the biggest chunk of the sun was covered.
From your viewpoint, yes.
Yeah.
The exact percentage covered would change slightly depending on where exactly you were standing.
Okay. And then it just reversed. The moon moved off.
Precisely. Same process, but in reverse. By about 11:35 a.m., it was all over.
Sun back to normal.
Sun back to its usual brilliant self.
Now, we did say, and it's important, this was partial.
Crucial point, yes.
So no dramatic midday darkness like you might imagine from, movies about total
That's
eclipse.
right. That's a whole different level of event. With a partial one, the moon, it just doesn't cover the whole sun.
So again, if you had the right eye gear, you saw that bite taken out.
Exactly. Maybe, just maybe, you notice the ambient light dim a little bit. Subtly.
Maybe. Not like lights out darkness, though.
No, probably not that traumatic, no.
It paints a picture, though. Okay, so that's the what. But the why. Why do these happen at all? This cosmic dance, as you put it.
Well, it's a good analogy. Imagine the solar system, like this giant ballroom, planets, moons, all moving in really precise paths, orbits.
Very predictable.
Very. And an eclipse happens when, well, one dancer steps into another's shadow
Or blocks the spotlight.
or blocks the spotlight.
Yeah.
Exactly. One celestial body passes into the shadow of another, or it gets between us and a light source, blocking the view.
Celestial photobomb. Okay, so for a solar eclipse, like March 29th.
Right, for that one, the alignment is moon, right between Earth and Sun.
Or moon, sun. Got it.
And this lineup, it can only happen at the new moon
When
phase.
the moon's sort of on the same side as the sun, from our perspective.
Correct. But it's not just any alignment. There's this, well, frankly, incredible coincidence involved about their apparent sizes.
Ah, yes, this part always gets me. Lay it on us.
Okay, so the sun, it's enormous, right?
Yeah.
About 400 times wider than the moon.
400 times. Huge.
But, and here's the kicker, it's also about 400 times further away from Earth than the moon is.
Wow. Okay.
And that ratio, that 400 times bigger, but 400 times further, it means from here, from Earth, they look almost exactly the same size in the sky.
Which is just wild.
It is. And it's that specific coincidence that makes total solar eclipses possible, where the moon can just perfectly block the sun's face.
Unbelievable cosmic geometry. Okay, what about the other kind, lunar eclipses?
Lunar eclipses, the roles are flipped. Now it's the Earth that gets in the middle.
So, sun, earth, moon.
Sun, Earth, Moon, exactly. Earth casts its shadow onto the Moon.
Ah, so the moon dims or disappears into Earth's shadow.
Right, and this only happens during the full Moon phase, when the Moon is on the opposite side of Earth from the Sun.
And this is where we get the blood moon sometimes, that spooky red color.
That's it. During a total lunar eclipse, the Moon can turn reddish.
Why red, though?
It's because sunlight filters through Earth's atmosphere on its way to the Moon. Our atmosphere scatters the blue light.
Like why the sky is blue.
Exactly like that.
Yeah.
But the red light, the longer wavelengths, they get bent or refracted towards the moon, painting it red.
Huh. Fascinating. So let me just recap for everyone listening. Solar eclipse, moon blocks sun.
Yep.
Lunar eclipse, Earth blocks sunlight from the moon, casting a shadow.
You got it. That's the core difference.
Okay, great. So back to March 29th. Why partial for Portugal, I mean, why didn't the moon fully block the sun there?
Good question. It comes down to the shadow. The moon's shadow isn't uniform, see? It has two parts.
Okay.
There's the umbra, that's the really dark central core of the shadow.
Umbra, dark center, got it.
And then there's the penumbra, that's the lighter, fuzzier outer part of the shadow.
Then an umbra, lighter shadow around the umbra, makes sense.
Now, if you happen to be standing within the path of the umbra as it sweeps across the Earth,
that's when you get the main event.
That's when you get totality. Total solar eclipse. Inside the umbra, the moon completely covers the sun. Stars come out, you see the corona.
The sun's atmosphere, yeah. Amazing.
Truly. But that umbra path, it's really narrow, like maybe only 100 kilometers wide, sometimes a bit more, sometimes less.
So a very specific track across the Earth.
Very specific. Now, if you're outside that narrow track, but still within the wider reach of the penumbra.
Like Portugal was on March 29th.
Exactly. Then you see a partial eclipse. The moon only covers, well, part of the sun.
And the further you are from the umbra path, the smaller the bite.
Precisely. The closer you get to that central path, the deeper the partial eclipse looks.
Okay, that clears it up. Umbra for total, penumbra for partial.
Right. And actually, there's a third type, too. An annular eclipse.
Annular? Like annual?
No, A-N-N-U-L-E-R. From annulus, meaning ring.
Okay. Ring. Why a ring?
Well, the moon's orbit isn't a perfect circle. It's an ellipse. So sometimes the moon is a bit further away from Earth.
Right, its distance varies.
And when it's further away, it looks slightly smaller in the sky. Not enough to cover the sun completely, even if the alignment is perfect.
So it leaves a ring of sun showing around the edges.
Exactly. A bright ring of the sun surrounding the dark moon. They call it the Ring of Fire eclipse.
Wow, Ring of Fire. That sounds spectacular, too.
It is. So that changing distance is key. It's why not every central eclipse is a total one.
So bringing it back to the March 29th event, the Espetacular Celestial, why was Portugal only in the penumbra? Where did the umbra go?
For that specific eclipse, the umbra track, the path of totality, it actually passed way off to the west, far from Portugal and Madeira.
Ah, okay. So the main shadow missed land there.
Completely missed it in that region. So the entire area was only ever clipped by the penumbra, the outer shadow. Hence, only a partial view for everyone there.
Gotcha. That makes total sense now. Okay, look, we absolutely have to talk safety. Because looking at the sun, bad idea, right?
Extremely bad idea. Cannot stress this enough. Looking directly at the sun, even for a second, even when it's partially covered.
It feels less bright, maybe, during a partial phase. Tempting to glance.
It is tempting, but it's incredibly dangerous. You can cause permanent eye damage, even blindness. And the worst part, you might not feel any pain at the time.
Wow, silent damage. So regular sunglasses are definitely out.
Absolutely useless for this. Forget sunglasses, forget photographic negatives, x-rays, CDs, smoked glass. None of it works. None of it is safe.
Okay, big warnings there. So what can people use if they want to watch a future eclipse safely?
Okay, safe methods. Number one, certified eclipse classes. They must meet the ISO 12312-2 international standard.
ISO 12312-2.
Got it. Check them for scratches or damage before you use them. If they're damaged, toss them. Don't risk it.
What about welder's glass? I hear that mentioned sometimes.
Yes, but only if it's shade 14 or higher. Shade 14.
Not just any welder's map.
Definitely not. Anything less than shade 14 isn't safe for looking directly at the sun. So you have to be sure of the shade number.
Okay. Eclipse glasses or shade 14 welder's glass? What if you don't have those?
Any indirect methods?
Pinhole projection. It's simple, totally safe, and actually pretty cool.
How does that work?
Take a piece of card, poke a tiny hole in it with a pin, stand with your back to the sun, hold up the card so sunlight streams through the pinhole, and projects a little image of the sun onto another surface, like another piece of paper or the ground.
And you see the eclipse shape in that little projected dot.
Exactly. You'll see the bite appearing in the projected image. The key is, look at the projection. Never, ever look through the pinhole at the sun.
Right. Look at the paper, not the pinhole. Safe and easy. What about binoculars, telescopes, for a closer look?
You can use them, but this is where safety gets even more critical. You can project the image through them onto paper, similar to the pinhole method, just magnified.
Okay, projection again. Yes. But never, and I mean never, look directly through binoculars or telescope at the sun, unless you have a proper certified solar filter designed for it. And this is vital. It must go on the front end, the big lens.
Not the eyepiece you look through.
Absolutely not the eyepiece. Those little eyepiece filters are incredibly dangerous. They can heat up, crack, and blind you instantly. Seriously, don't use them. Stick to projection or get a proper front-mounted filter.
Or maybe find an astronomy club event. Watch with people who know their stuff.
That's a great idea. Observe with experienced astronomers who have the right safe gear. Much better than risking it.
Good advice. And photographers. People wanting to snap pictures. Same rules apply.
Very much so. You need a proper solar filter for your camera lens, too. DSLRs, mirrorless, even phone adapters.
Protect the camera sensor.
Protect the sensor, yes, but also protect your eyes. If you're using a DSLR with an optical viewfinder, looking through that at the unfiltered sun is just as dangerous as looking directly.
Right, because the light's coming straight through the lens to your eye. Filter first.
Filter first.
Yeah.
Always. For your eyes and your gear.
It's definitely sobering thinking about the risks, but it really highlights the sun's power, doesn't it? And how amazing these alignments are.
It really does. Eclipses, they're like these visible reminders of the clockwork of the solar system.
Mm.
Earth going around the sun, moon going around Earth.
This whole cosmic ballet playing out.
Yeah, a dance that's been going on for billions of years.
And even though that March event was just partial for Portugal and Madeira, it was still, well, a connection, right, to something huge.
Absolutely. Every eclipse, total or partial, gives you a glimpse of that bigger picture, the vastness and the beauty of it all.
A shared moment, looking up.
Precisely. And hopefully it keeps that curiosity alive, you know? Makes people want to keep looking up.
Safely, though. Always safely.
Always safely. That's the takeaway.
Definitely. So, wrapping up this deep dive, thinking about the March 29th eclipse, the science, the predictability mentioned in sources like the Espectáculo Celestial. It's this weird mix, isn't it? It's clockwork precision, but also just completely awe-inspiring.
Yeah, predictable yet profound.
It really makes you wonder what other patterns are out there, you know, woven into the universe, just waiting for us to figure them out.
Hmm. That's a good thought to leave people with. Plenty more to discover out there.
For sure. Well, thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.